You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Here we go, Davey!
Yeah!
Good morning, everybody. It's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you live from the service bays here at Queen Anne River.
Did you hear the rubber that we peeled out this morning?
It's got to be a summer holiday or a fall holiday because the beer store is absolutely devout of people. There's nobody out there.
Because it doesn't open up for a half hour.
Oh, that could be a problem. Usually they're lined up. But actually, no, they are open, Alan. Come on, they're open. The lights are on and nobody's home.
Oh, wow.
The bottom line is, there's nobody buying beer this morning because it's not a beer holiday.
You know what? I heard our buddy Dave Woodford, and there's another blitz going on.
Yes.
They're looking out for drinking drivers. They're looking out for seat belts. They are looking out for people who swerve in and out.
Those are the guys I like to get.
Well, that may be combined with the alcohol, the swerver guys.
Anyways, we're going to have a really great show today. We're going to be all over the map. We're going to Terry Lobson first. We're going to talk to him about the upcoming classic car auction, which is going to be at the airport, the International Center, October 26th to the 28th. And because of that, I got a whack of tickets to give away. You ever had a whack of tickets?
Really? A whack of tickets?
Yeah, I had a whack once in Buffalo.
Oh, that's corn. That's beef on whack
listeners. By the time I got to Toledo, it was all over
the
highway.
That's like the national food of Buffalo is beef on whack.
I got to tell you, something? That's value, because if you eat it at noon, at 4 o'clock, you still know what you have.
But it tastes best the first time, eh?
I'm telling you.
After that, when it repeats on you,
I told my son.
It ain't so good the second time.
My son was driving. I said, pull over. He goes, why? I said, pull over, and that was it. After that, I felt a lot better. Anyways, having digressed, we're going to give away two tickets to everybody that gets on air with us for the classic car auction up at the airport. And Terry's going to talk about station wagons, which is the hot item this summer.
Okay.
And we're going to be selling those. Isabel Tremblay. Isabel is a race car driver, a mother, a fashion model, and she is going to be talking to us from Montreal.
Okay.
And she runs the Cast Car Series. She finished actually mid-range of the pack, ran 6 races, finished 2 in the top 10. Really nice gal. We're going to talk to her this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Philpott. You don't know who Doug is? He knows. His Mrs. Philpott knows who he is.
Oh, I hope so.
So he's going to call me. He called us last week about Ford's extended warranty.
No. The maintenance protection plan.
Yeah, we don't know anything about this.
MPP.
So he mailed me 95 pages of
Yeah, Doug
stuff.
Wanted our advice, and what we've done is we've researched and we've spared no expense to get our friend Mark Silverman on the phone. We will be talking to him. He is the manager of East Court?
Yep, East Court Ford.
East Court Ford.
You know what? No expense spared. I always like to say that.
Exactly.
No expense spared. Let's talk to Paul on the phone.
We're going to go right to our callers, and Paul is waiting by. He's in Toronto, and he's got an ignition issue. What's going on, Paul?
Morning, gentlemen.
Hello. Hey.
Great show.
Thank you.
I got a problem, guys. Yesterday, my key broke off in the ignition, so the bottom one turned to stuck in the ignition. Now, what happened? I managed to put the remnant of the key in and got it started.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brought it home. I got a two-part question, guys. Is it a safety problem? Like what I did when I started that, I held that remnant in the ignition and drove.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried if I took it out, although the car started, it might cut off in live traffic.
What kind of car is this?
It's a 92 Sable.
They have the ring around the ignition.
Exactly,
Well, it's a two-part question, like he's got a two-part key. That's the problem.
Yes, the first part's broken.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you know what? No, but I have seen that before. I mean, if you don't want to spend the money and your key is enough there to keep it in and turn the lock, you could continue using it the way it is.
Yeah, but Dave.
Yes.
Or Red Island, once it's started, is it safe to take that the top part out of the...
You know what? I think you have to keep it near the ignition because there is an RF pickup there.
That's right. There could be
Actually, no. That car does not have any type of electronic on the key.
All right. Well, if it doesn't, then there's no problem taking it away. Yeah. But what you can do is just start it up in your driveway, okay? Uh-huh. And then move the key away. And see what happens.
Yeah.
Because if the car dies, then it'll do it right then and there.
Paul, hang on a second. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to you. We have to pay some bills around here.
Okay. Yeah. All okay, right. Hang on. We'll have to get to the second part of the question.
Which is the chip and the key.
Okay.
Da, da, da.
All right.
ZZ Top.
I like that.
Here we go.
Okay, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and just as I mentioned, the beer store was empty. Cars pulled up.
Exactly.
This shows you the power of radio.
We have 100 listeners, and two of them are in the parking lot.
Actually, we have almost 100,000 listeners.
Wow.
Amazing place.
Oh, look, another car. Oh, this is a hot
one,
too.
Look at that. People are listening.
A Challenger.
Let's go quickly back to Paul. Paul, what was your second question?
Actually, still in the first part, Dave. Assuming that there's no electronic in the key, and
yes.
I can actually remove the part that's broken
yes.
once it started, there's no chance of that cutting off on the road.
No.
Okay.
Not unless you turn it. No, nothing at all.
And I think your car has a chip in it. I think the key's got the little resistor chip
in it. It's a 92, Dave.
Yeah, I think it's a resistor.
All right, the second part of your question, Paul, is?
Is I've done some research online last night, and there's things like trying a magnet, trying a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, to get it out?
Yeah, to get it out. What's the best way to
take a nice little hammer, okay, and just tap the lock. Okay, and tap it, and every time you hit it, the key portion will come back out a little bit.
Really?
So you can grab it with a little pair of pliers, and it's really neat.
I wouldn't mess it up.
No, I wouldn't mess it up. Just tap it. Just tap towards the lock, and the thing will come back out.
Yeah, I don't know if a magnet will work, because the key is probably brass inside.
Yeah, it is. I tried that. It's a brass key. It wouldn't work.
Just tap the lock, like I told you. Just tap it, and the key will work its way out, and then grab a pair of tweezers and grab it.
So all I have to get is a fine adjustment tool, then?
Yes.
Oh, okay, guys.
And what do we call that, Big Bertha?
All right, Paul.
Thank you.
A knockometer.
Take care.
That's what we called it, a knockometer.
Do you know, when I was an apprentice, they asked me to go ask one of the other mechanics for a brass magnet, and I did.
I
looked
him,
silly.
I sent him for a roll of centerline. Okay, we're going to talk to Terry Lobson this morning. Terry, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing down there?
Good. Where are you, Chatham?
Yeah, down near Chatham, on the sunny side of Canada.
Yes. Actually, you're the only one that is south of the United States. I think that area
correct.
Is the only part of Canada that's south of the U.S. Did you know that?
I didn't know
right.
that.
Little
there's
known facts.
Big, there's a big rock down right at the riverside in Windsor there, and I'm sure a lot of bar bets have been won for that fact. And there's a plaque there that shows due north right to the Renaissance Center in Detroit.
All right, so the classic car auction is coming up. When is it?
That's coming up in a couple of weeks here, October the 26th to the 28th,
uh-huh.
three-day weekend,
mm-hmm.
and a few hundred cars coming. It's going to be exciting. Got some real special stuff this year.
Now,
station wagons, right?
Uh-huh.
It's station wagons this year?
Yeah, station wagons. We got a wagon train of station wagons. It's kind of interesting because it's really a lot of them are kind of the iconic cars from what they call the golden era of station wagons. And starting with some, that was kind of a period in the early 50s after cars had become kind of mass-produced. The old wood body or the woody were very expensive to manufacture and at speed. So they went all steel bodies and sometimes vinyl and plastic trim, but they still became, kind of the family SUV of the time. And there's some really, really interesting examples there.
Well, you've got Chevy Nomads, which are always a perennial, right?
Yeah, there's actually, that's kind of the first generation. There's a 55, 56, and 57.
Wow.
Which was really cool because that was a concept car originally that kind of based on Harley Earl's, Corvette. It was a two-door wagon, and those are really desirable, real collectible cars.
I would like you to get the one that Chevy Chase drove in the Vacation movie. That was a gorgeous
one. You
mean
the Truckster?
The Truckster.
The Truckster, yeah.
The Wagon Queen Family Truckster. George Barron.
I love that. So, and the other thing is we've always got garage paraphernalia, memorabilia. I try and buy neon signs every time I go.
Bling. I call it bling.
Bling.
For your garage.
For my man cave.
The man cave.
For the man cave. So we've got what? Gasoline pumps. We've got neon signs. We've got flea market going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so even if you're not there to buy a car, maybe you have a car and you need the owner's manual, or you need some other kind of little piece of trim. You can get it at the show.
Hey, you can have Alan Gelman Avenue as a sign that says here.
That's what we should do. Name the streets there, the aisles.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
It's Alan Gelman. Where are you going? I'm going to the corner of Gelman and I don't know.
Well, we could we could do it together. We could be Dave and Al Alley.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to give away tickets to the event. Yeah. Everybody calls in. We're going to give one care of you. And you're going to be on next week. Actually, you want to come down and join us? You can. And we'll spend some time talking about classic cars.
Anytime, yeah. We've got some really interesting stuff. And as you mentioned, it's as much as it is a sale and we'd like everybody to buy a car, but it's also a great place to just get an education or find some parts or talk to some people that know your cars. It's just a really great experience. A lot of people look forward to it every year.
Yeah,
Terry, what's the admission fee? And is there a family package or anything like that?
There's prices. Everything's on our website. I believe it's $18 per day, plus if you want 3-day weekend, I believe there's a discount there.
Right, and we're giving away VIP passes for the whole weekend.
All right,
yeah,
super.
Yeah, it's $18, and that's 1-day pass. That includes your parking, your bidder's card, your auction program, and $30 for if you want to do for the whole weekend, and same thing. So, you know, there's no other fees. And plus, like I say, there's going to be people there with some examples of some memorabilia and things. So if you don't buy a car, you can always come home with some type of a souvenir.
And the wife goes, where are you going to put that? I thought I'd put it in the bedroom.
All right, Terry, thank you very much for joining us.
I don't think so. Bye, Terry.
Okay,
see you later.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Soon. How much did you pay for that?
It was a deal.
Honey.
But they do that too. Didn't you ever say, honey, is that a new blouse? And they go, no, I've had this for months.
Yeah.
Because they hid it at the back of the closet.
Well, I like this. I'm watching TV and the Barb comes in and she says, you like this? I go, it's okay. She'll be back. She comes back with another one.
You like? Maybe
I
like
says,
this
you
one's
know
better.
What? Don't you buy something to keep or you just buy something so you can take it back?
All right, 416-360-0740. If you got out a car care question, ready, willing, and able to take them. And we're going to go to Alliston first or next and speak to Tim, who's got a question about oil changes, I guess. What's going on, Tim?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Excellent. The color's all turning up there?
Yeah.
I bet you must be gorgeous sight. Yes, exactly.
Big article in the wheels section this morning about getting up to the northern country to see the change
changing
of the
colors. What's going on, Tim?
Gentlemen, I'm a senior and I'm a little confused about oil changes.
Okay.
When I was a little younger, I recall it used to do an oil change approximately 5,000 miles on your car.
Right.
Now we got all the car dealers say you have to change your oil at 5,000 kilometers.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't top of my class in math, but 5,000 kilometers is only 3,000 miles.
Correct.
Do you recommend the 5,000 kilometers, or can we go to 8,000 kilometers? That's one part of the question. The other part is we have an elderly lady living down the street. Her husband bought a brand-new car a year ago, and he's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So she just uses this car to go up to the local store and back.
Right.
She puts on about 700 kilometers in a year.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But the indicator in the car keeps on at a certain time, a red light comes on saying, you know, car needs service. She panics, doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Well, let's get back to the first one. Okay, in terms of doing your oil changes, we're in the business, and we like to see people often as possible. A lot of people, you see, in the old days, you used to know how to check your oil level. You used to check your tire pressure. You used to know how to open up the hood and look at air filter. The people nowadays don't do that. They automatically think that a computer is going to tell them everything there needs to know about their car, and they neglect it. So we see more cars coming in with flat tires, running out of oil, and things like that because they don't take care of them. So depending on, you know, how much time and money you want to spend, I mean, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 kilometers is not a bad idea to bring your car in. In fact, if anything, what's going on is a lot of the manufacturers are extending those intervals even greater.
Mercedes is 25,000 kilometers.
BMWs are like once a year. They want you to do an oil change.
Wow.
the problem is this, so like I say, is who gets down on their knees and looks underneath the car, looks at the tires, looks at those things? Nobody. And when you neglect those things, you're going to cause, you know, undue wear. It's not going to be safe, so it's not going to be good. Now, the lady down the street.
Underwear?
you made me say underwear. That's a Bare Naked Lady song.
See, part of the oil change is also getting somebody under the car and checking those little things that you were just talking about.
Exactly. Okay, now the woman down the street, in terms of her service engine light.
Yeah. No, oil change light.
Yeah, it... Okay, what you have to do is, has she shown you which light it is?
No, she hasn't. My neighbor, I've got muscular dystrophy, so I'm only going for what a next-door neighbor that helps.
Some of these cars have actually little meters inside to say how much life expectancy is left on the oil.
I'm guessing the light that's on is the maintenance-required light.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
And what it may be looking at, and this is where when you take your car into a shop, you have to tell the station to please reset the light. Because if they don't see it and they don't think about it, it won't happen. Because the machine is not smart enough to know that you just were in for an oil change, all right?
And what kind of car she got?
I'm really not sure. I know it's a new General Motors. I believe it's a Malibu. Yeah.
You know, she's probably okay with doing it once a year. Just check the level of the oil and make sure it's all right.
The only problem is, you see, she's almost 90 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And when she sees a light come on in the car, not knowing...
She's worried about it.
And she worried, oh, my gosh, what's the matter? Can I drive?
You know what?
Can I not drive, the type of thing?
Tell her to hire a chauffeur.
All right, okay, Tim, thanks for helping her out.
Thanks, my friend.
Very
nice
of you. Take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot.
416-360-0740 if you want to give us a call, or if you're out of town, it's 1-866-740-4740.
We come back. Elizabeth Tremblay from Montreal, race car driver par excellence.
We'll see you in just a moment.
Your life, never make a pretty woman your wife.
Never sneak neon.
That's funny. Hey, your wife's so ugly.
Yeah, but she's got some great neon signs, okay?
Yeah.
And she lets me put them up in my man cave.
No, actually, I opened my office away from home because I can't stay home. She sends me out of there. Anyways, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage here in beautiful downtown Toronto. We're going to head off to Montreal. Isabel, who I call Elizabeth.
I must apologize. Isabel, how are you this afternoon, this morning?
That's all right. I'm doing very fine. And you guys?
Hey, excellent.
We have a policy around here. Any day you wake up is a great day. That's our policy.
It is. I catch a little cold. And this morning when I spoke with Dave, that made my day.
There you go. So tell us about, now, Isabel, you are a race car driver. You're a mother. You're a fashion model. And what else do you do?
I cook. I do a lot of things. But my passion is really racing now.
How did you get into racing? How does a young gal get into racing?
Oh, my God. I was a real estate agent 4 years ago, and one of my customers said, you have to come try this. So I won a race, a four-cylinder race, enduro, crazy race, 200 turn and 97 guys. And since then, I didn't stop to want to learn more about the racing.
Now you're driving in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, correct?
This is unbelievable. Yes, it is. I think so. They say that French are crazy sometimes, but yes, I am. We're going like 280 kilometer an hour, and those guys are so good. They've been there for so many years, and I'm there trying to race against them, but I'm doing pretty good.
You know, Slouch, you got two top 10 finishes out of six events. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yes. Actually, I feel great in my car, and I start to be more, I have more knowledge about the racing. I'm getting there. The step was very high, but now I'm just making one with my car. So, Isabel,
let me ask you, is your theory here, how you do it, do you hang around the back and then wait to the end and then push forward, or you try to get to the front right away?
I'm more patient. You know, you have to respect those guys. And for now, they're better than me, but I'm a stubborn woman, and I learn very quickly. So I'm in the middle of the pack, and then I more than the turn are going. You know, when you're capable to keep going eight turns behind Scott Stickley or do a 2-3 turn with Fitzpatrick or DJ Kennington, you feel great.
Well, if necessary, you use the chrome horn. You understand what that is?
You're going to have to explain to me. Sorry about
the chrome horn?
Is when you
the
bang them.
The chrome horn is the bumper. Is when you push them out of the way.
Tell me, this is not a cheap form of racing. Running a cast car is expensive. Frank Lyman is one of your sponsors.
Yeah,
he's a designer.
That's designer. It's bringing some femininity to the sport too. And at my last race at Kawarta, there were so many people from Toronto. The women are wearing those dress. You can have a look on their website, franklyman.com.
Oh, so now, he's a ladies' fashion wear designer.
Was that you modeling? I saw the site.
Yes, we did some photo shoot, and we wore some billboards, some pictures a little bit everywhere at the airport, and it's all over the world, and I think she's having 200, 500 stores all over the world.
Oh, she's, wow. You know, when you get off the plane, she's on the poster boards and stuff like that.
Excellent.
No slouch, I gotta tell you.
Cross promotion, they call it.
The people can have a look at on my website if you want to take a note. It's Isa, as Isabel, ISA, racingteam.com.
Isa, racingteam.com.
ISA, racing.com.
Yes.
There you
go. I have a favor to ask you also.
Sure.
There is a big contest going on right now for the most popular driver. You see all the name of all the NASCAR drivers. There are about 40 of them. And now I'm in first position, and I try to do so much for the sport. I'm not as good as so many drivers right now, but I'm getting there.
But I like Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson is my favorite guy.
Yes. You're talking about NASCAR in the States. But
oh,
here in Canada,
okay. This is just Canada.
I'm at the Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is my guy. Isabel, what happens for next year? How do you already start for next year, getting their sponsors and stuff?
Yes, I already start to look for sponsor. People can write me over my website if they are interested to keep going with us. My partner won the rookie title, Martin Roy, this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's an unbelievable driver. He's been in the racing, in the dirt before, for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep going in our way in NASCAR Canadian Tire. That's where my heart is. And I want to make a difference in the sport, and being a woman with all those guys, that gives me so much strength. And there is so many passionate people. They come over and they come to see us, but we need to do more for the sport and start to bring the people knowing more about us.
Isabel, thank you. We want to thank you for taking time. It's Isabel, it's isaracingteam.com.
I really appreciate it.
And if you get on the site, it's an interesting
site. Time.
I'm going to vote for Kurt Busch, but I will vote for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good luck, Isabel.
Thanks, sweetie.
Okay, have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Fascinating lady, huh?
Yeah, but she's not the first lady in racing.
No.
But maybe in Canada we should ask her that.
Well, you know what?
Other women racing
Kelly
in
Williams,
Canada?
Who we've had on our show
before.
She used to race in this event. And I can be honest with you, it is a tough race. I mean, these guys are tough. They've been doing it for quite a while. And she did not bad. Six races.
Well, you know what? It's true. And the problem is it's being an all-boys kind of club.
Yes.
The women have had problems coming in. I mean, certainly they have the talent. But like she said, it takes a while to gain the respect of these guys.
I got to do a commercial. And the commercial's for our car care clinic.
Okay.
You know, the disconnect between what's going on. We were just talking about that. People don't know what's going under the hood of the car.
Well, that's right. And this is why people should get in for oil change and stuff. But there's some basic things that people should know about their cars.
So we do that. And what we do is we invite you to join us. This time it's October the 11th. It's at 401 Dixie Kia. And what we'd like you to do is phone this number, which is 905-602-0884. Give them a shout. Give them your name and phone number. And we'll get you into the clinic. I'm holding the clinic at 7 o'clock, October the 11th, at 401 Dixie Kia. You know what? The biggest problem is people don't want to go home. We finished at 9:30, and it was at 10 o'clock. I instructed the dealership to shut the lights off.
I think people should know.
You know what? Shut the front door.
People should know it's open up to men or women. It makes no difference.
Yep.
You don't have to have any experience whatsoever.
And you know what? It's an open conversation. If you want to ask a question like, what do I do with my tires in the off season? How do I know that the oil has to be changed? Why do I, rescue the car? Why do I do these things? All those questions we answer openly and honestly. And the other thing is, there's also the dealer personnel there. So if you've got a question about buying a car or you bought a car with a problem, these are the guys you're going to talk to, and they're there too. So it's really a good time. We usually have 20 to 25 people. So I think there's a little bit of opening still there. So October the 11th, 401 Dixie Kia. Or you can go on our website, which is carcareclinic, all one word, .ca, and you can register.
And the price is right.
It's free. Free is good. No, it's more than that. It's free, and we give you coffee and donuts.
Oh, wow, you get stuff. All right, you want to go back to the phones, Dave?
Yeah, we'll have a good time.
All right, Monica is standing by. She's in Scarborough.
Monica!
And she she's looking for some advice. Let's try to give her some. Monica?
Monica!
Oh, okay. We're going to talk to Stan in Oshawa. I'm sorry. Who's got a question or perhaps a comment about his ignition lock. What's going on, Stan?
Well, what happens is that periodically the ignition locks on me, and I have a terrible time trying to get the ignition started again.
Have you? So the key won't turn?
The key won't turn.
Okay, well, the keys do wear out. Do you have a second key by chance for the car?
No, I don't think it's the key that's wearing out. This happened right when I bought the car.
Oh, is the steering is jamming? Did you find the steering maybe is jamming the lock?
Well, you know, I can't move the steering wheel.
Well, what you should do is you wiggle the steering wheel.
Well, I wiggle it, and I do the brake thing, step on the brake pedal.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything that I think I should be doing to try to straighten out my wheels.
Right.
And it becomes frustrating. What concerns me?
Geez, it's only been 7 years.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What concerns me, though, is the fact that because I suffered a stroke,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not driving, I can't drive, my license has been suspended.
Right.
But I have a valet person that takes me out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the thing locks on him, and he phones me and says, what do I do now?
Right. All right, a couple of things. What I'd suggest is this. It could be that something's getting a little bit sticky. Maybe this little spray of WD-40 inside the ignition lock
may
help.
No, don't talk about sticking, because the thing is, it was that way when I bought the car.
Okay, we're trying to help here. The other thing you can do is when you pull into a parking spot, okay, before you shut the car off, make sure that the steering wheel is in the straight-ahead position.
Okay. Now that sounds like a logical explanation.
All right, so make sure it's in the straight-ahead position, and then you can shut the car off, take the key out, and that may work, okay? So Stan,
that's the criteria, having your wheels straight?
That's it. Give it a try. What have you got to lose? All right, take care of yourself.
All righty. You know, sometimes we cannot solve problems without seeing the car.
Come on. You can't do it over the telephone.
No. I mean, I love when I get calls where the guy said, I've had the 14 different mechanics. Can you tell me what's wrong? I don't think so.
All right, how are we doing for time? We're going to take another call? Okay, let's go to Monica now.
Monica, finally.
In Scarborough. We like to take women. Monica, what's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Excellent. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
What are we buying, Monica? Used car advice.
I'm looking for a used vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Have you under 50,000 kilometers.
Okay.
I've been looking for, I've been looking at the Subaru Forester or the RAV4.
Both great vehicles.
Can you recommend
how about Honda CR-V?
That will not cost too much to insure.
Honda CR-V, also bulletproof.
Pardon?
You should also look at the Honda CR-V as a used car, also bulletproof.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, all three of them are great.
Kia is also bulletproof.
Exactly. Which model?
I'm not hearing you very well, sorry.
Oh. All right, Monica, you know what? Hang on. We got to get a break.
Okay.
We'll come back. We're going to put you on hold for a second. We'll come back to you.
Okay. Thank
all right.
You.
Okay.
We're using the brakes a lot today.
Yeah.
Is that like brakes as in B-R-E-A-K or A-K-E?
I got to go.
Okay. Monica's standing on the line. We will answer her question. And if you've got one, too, you can give us a call, 416-360-0740. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. We're back.
Yeah. We're back with a vengeance.
We're back with the Doors.
Oh.
The Vengeance is a heavy metal band.
Okay, we're
back
talking to
70s.
Monica here. Monica, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so give me again. You want to buy a car under 50,000 kilometers?
Yes.
And you want to buy it for $4.
But I'm looking for one that is not very expensive to insure.
Now, why?
So that was the question.
For Subaru Forester or RAV4. Yes.
Okay, well, what you should do, first of all, is I'd phone your insurance broker.
I did that already.
And did they tell you which one of the vehicles is the least expensive to insure?
Well, so far it seems like the Subaru is less...
the least expensive, yeah?
The least expensive to insure.
Well, certainly the Subaru is a good car. Very few people with Subarus dislike them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all-wheel drive if that's what you're looking for, and it's going to be reasonable on gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to sit up a little bit higher, then certainly you've got to go the other way, which would be either the RAV4 or the Honda CR-V.
Honda CR-V.
How much more insurance was the other two, though? Do you know offhand?
The RAV4 was around 2,000 something a year.
What, more than the other one?
No.
In total?
Yeah.
It was about $900 more.
Okay, so about double.
Yes, almost double.
What, I mean, one was $1,000, the other was $2,000?
Yes, almost $2,000 total, yes.
According to Monica?
Per year.
Per year?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? The other thing, too, Monica, besides the money, is you have to be comfortable in the car, okay?
Yes, that's why I'm looking for a high-level car, because of I have back problems.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got to drive it.
I've been driving Toyota Corolla.
Yes.
And it's really too low for me, and I'm very tall. So
well, if you've had luck with Toyota and you like the car generally, then I would look at the RAV. That's the way I would go.
Yes.
All right?
Okay.
All right, good luck, Monica. We got to move on.
Sorry, one more thing. What's the difference between the CLE? The insurance company are asking me all these questions, and I don't know what it means.
Well, what they're talking about is the more options on the vehicle, the more the vehicle cost, okay?
So the LE and the CE.
Exactly. The LE is probably the luxury edition, I'm guessing.
Okay.
The CEB may be the more of the basic one.
Oh, I see.
So in other words, and when they have to replace the car, if, God forbid, you wrote it off, it's going to cost more money.
And Monica, you should talk to them about maybe raising your deductible.
Yes.
In other words, instead of making a $200 deductible or a $500 deductible, maybe take it to a $1,000 deductible, and that'll reduce your insurance costs.
Okay, that's a good thought.
Okay, Monica?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
All right, well, we're trying to get someone on the line. We've got Mark. He's
our
Ford expert, but we are trying to get Doug Philpott on the line. Doug is
Christina. Can you get Mark on the phone, please?
Doug is a caller who called last week, and
he had
a question about the extended Ford service
Marcus,
plan.
Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Alan.
How are you?
Where you got? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Hey, Mark, where are you?
We lost Mark altogether.
Did we lose him? I think we lost him.
All right, we'll call him back. Anyway, Doug had called in, and he was questioning the extended service plan.
Yes.
And just to explain it quickly, this is over and above your regular warranty coverage. Now, this is a plan that incorporated actual maintenance, okay? In other words, that you paid up front and you could get maintenance on your car at no extra charge. In other words, you paid a flat fee, and if something wore out and it was covered under the maintenance, it would be repaired for free, almost like a warranty thing, eh?
It's extended warranty with maintenance. And Ford is supplying this. And the question was from Doug Philpott, and we're going to get a hold of him right now. We're going to put him and Mark together, and they can sort of explain what this is, because it's really complicated. It's basically you're buying a warranty extension and you're buying a service policy all into one.
Yeah.
And I think it's now $3,000.
Yeah, it depends on the plan you buy and for what time you know it goes for many, many different. Two-year, three-year, four-year, five-year. Okay, how are we doing?
We good? Okay, so Mark, you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Good. We're trying to put this conference call together, and it's kind of complicated. And can we get Doug on the phone? Are you there?
Not quite yet. Mark, okay, explain a little bit about the extended service plan, if you can.
Okay, two things. One is there are two separate plans.
Mm-hmm.
One you're talking about would be ESP, which would be an extended warranty. Depending on the level that you buy, there's a base care, premium care, would depend on the number of components on the car that it covers.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There's no extended warranty in the world that covers entire car. The best one you can buy is about 87% of the car, which is the key components. The expensive stuff, the protection that you buy with the extended warranty, it's kind of an insurance policy.
Okay.
So it's like the motor, the transmission, the rear end.
Motor, transmission, the key components. It might not cover the knobs on your radio once the basic warranties run out, but certainly the stuff that's worthy of protecting. But then there's the other plan. There's the FMPP, which is the Ford Maintenance Protection Plan.
Right. And this
that is not a warranty. That's basically buying your maintenance up front.
Oh.
So, for example, when you purchase an automobile and you you have to finance it, the cost of this maintenance can go right into that financing.
Okay.
And when you buy it up front, there's several plans. You can buy a two-year plan up to a seven-year plan, and different mileage intervals. And obviously, the mileage intervals and the numbers of visits varies on the type of plan you buy.
So let me just stop you for a second. So the difference here between maintenance and warranty would be, for example, warranty would not cover wear and tear items. So in other words, if your tires wear out or your brakes wear out, things like that, that's not
correct, covered.
But this is where the maintenance plan would help you, correct?
Correct. The maintenance plan gives you a schedule. For example, I think we have a four-year plan, and I think it goes from 60 to 120K. And the number of visits depends on the mileage intervals. So on a four-year plan with 120K, if you bought the six-month interval and the 8,000 kilometer, you would get 15 visits in the life of the in the life of that plan. And it covers your basic oil changes, tire rotations, depending on mileages. It covers your coolant flushes, air filters, transmission services. So it covers the whole gamut. It covers spark plugs.
Now, Mark, there is a mileage cap, though, is there not?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There's a mileage cap on all extended warranties and FMPPs or maintenance.
Now, effects. Mark, hang on one second. I think we have Doug on the phone. Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I am, guys.
Are you listening to what Mark's saying?
I'm listening to all of you today. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So did we? What did we leave out? You must have another question.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, like, if I look at the six-year 200,000K maintenance plan versus the plus the six-year 120 extended warranty on it, you know, it says there's a I believe the 120 for both of them has two brake jobs in it. I live in the city of Toronto, and I drive in the core a lot, and my previous Ford vehicle, I had, 120, and it lasted me 6 years. It was really good. It was fine. If what happens if there's a third brake job needed? I guess I'm on the hook for that, right?
Well, basically, you're restricted, Doug, to the intervals that they say. So if you were to purchase, I think you said the four-year, I'm sorry.
The six-year 120 extended warranty, the six-year 120 maintenance plan.
Okay, the six-year 120 maintenance plan, if you went with the 6 months, 8,000 interval, which I recommend, that's what we recommend for our type of service in the
GTA.
In the city of Toronto for severe service. You're going to get 15 visits, and you're going to go in every 8,000 kilometers. So
yeah.
Where do you see that it says it's limited to two brake jobs?
Well, I know that the previous one I had three brake jobs on. And it was at 120,000.
No, it's there's no limitation to the amount of service that you get, as long as you go on the intervals that is prescribed in the plan.
So he's basically home free. You've got no other expense other than driving the gasoline,
putting gasoline in an insurance,
and the tires.
Now,
yeah.
The Ford FMPP covers eight additional items other than your regular maintenance.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is, it covers brake pads, brake rotors, clutch disc, belts, hoses, clamps, light bulbs, shocks, spark plugs, and wiper blades.
Pretty much everything.
Those are eight additional items that are covered on wear. Now, they're not going to change them for you every 8,000 kilometers. They're going to change them when they're worn. So I would advise, what type of a car do you drive?
It's a brand new Escape.
Beautiful car.
2012. Yeah, I had a previous Escape too, and I was happy with it.
And you know what? I'll tell you, because you're a listener, if you come in and see me, I can help you out on the price.
Hey, look, all right, there you go. That's a deal.
That would be great, guys.
All right, Doug, I will send you.
Find me.
Yep, send me his contact, please.
Yes, I will send it off to you that you can get in touch with Mark. Mark, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys. I appreciate it.
And Doug, thank you. That was pretty good. I like that.
You know what?
Conference call.
And I want Mark to know that we spoke to our buddy Dave. So if he happened to, OPP Cruiser goes by and sees him on the phone when we're talking, he was going to give him a special dispensation today. All right, Mark, you got nothing to worry about.
Thank you very much, everybody. And we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll come answering your phone calls. Green onions.
All right,
that means we're coming to the
end of the show. Last segment of the show here.
Yes, let's talk to Jim in St. Catharines with a 2000.
2000 Echo, 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 Echo. Jim, what's going on
with
your car?
Hello, Jim. Hi, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Go ahead.
My wife has a 2000 Echo. And it's very low kilometers.
Yeah.
But I've always been told that you should always use the parking brake, okay, when you park.
You're right, unless your wife thinks otherwise, but go ahead.
So the cable doesn't seize or
correct.
Whatever.
Correct, 100%.
But anyway, she does use it, but it seems like every time it's been used, and it releases, okay, the light goes off and everything.
But
for about a day after, there's a squealing, you know, like the brakes. But so it took it in, and they popped all the wheels off, and everything's fine. So what could it possibly be? I don't know. Because
I know.
Let me ask quickly, is the squealing coming from the back or the front? Can you tell?
I think it's from the back.
Well, sounds like the parking brake's hanging up.
Yeah, what it needs is a spring kit in the back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the rear brakes have shoes. And yeah. and they release because there's a spring in there that pulls them back. And this vehicle is like 12 years old, and the springs get tired. So it's like the parts are like $14.
Yeah, it's just they call it a brake spring hardware kit.
Yeah, it's a hardware kit. That you got to replace that hardware kit.
Okay, but you should use it, right?
Yes, definitely.
The easiest way to figure this out, Jim, is if there's no noise there, drive it for a week, don't use the parking brake, and see if the noise is always gone.
Yes.
And then put the brake on, remove it.
That's a good idea.
And then if you hear it, then you know it's got to be your parking brake.
Are you missing your cat?
Yeah, that's good. Oh, when is the car show on?
October the 26th, and because you called in, we will be giving you tickets.
You will?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Everybody calls in today and got on air is going to get a pair of tickets to the car auction.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right,
really appreciate it.
You'll enjoy
it. Well, I'll try that. Not to use it for about a week and see if it doesn't do that.
It's a drag.
Good luck, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You're very
welcome.
We're
going to talk to Dominic, and he's got a CTS, which blew up.
Get out of town.
Shut the front door.
What happened?
Dominic.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
What happened?
My CTS, the RAV blew, and all the coolant went into most of the coolant went into the transmission.
Oops.
Now, when I took it to the dealer, they said, well, you know, we will fix the RAV, this and that, but he says, but we won't guarantee the transmission because of all the coolant that went into it.
That's right.
And I said to him, well, okay, I've flushed the transmission.
Yes.
Okay, so I had the transmission flushed, and it seems to be working okay. And I'm wondering how many times or should I get the transmission flushed to make sure that
that all the coolant is gone. Yes, no, that's a tremendous good question. Do you know how it was flushed? Did they power flush it or did they just drain it and fill it?
I really don't know.
Well, I would advise you to get it done again. Absolutely. How long have you driven it since that was done?
Well, actually, not very long. I've only put on about 40-50 kilometers on it because we have two vehicles, and my wife was doing most of the driving on the CTS.
Do you know what? I would get it done again. Unfortunately,
well,
you
suggest power flushing or just flushing it out?
Yeah, I would get a power flush done.
Power flush?
Yes.
The difference is the power flush will actually change the fluid in the converter and everything else.
See, normally if you just drain it, half the transmission fluid is still in the torque converter, okay? And, of course, half of that is going to be antifreeze. And you want to get that antifreeze out because it will do bad damage to the clutches inside your transmission. So you got to get it done.
Okay.
Or as the guy said.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. You're welcome. Good luck with that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's pretty rare that something like that happens.
Where the transmission cooler goes inside the radiator?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I usually see it once a year anyways. It does happen.
So our advice, Dominic, is to get her done.
Get her done, exactly.
Get her done is the way we should go. Alan, thank you. That's a show.
It is.
How's that a show?
All right, we had a lot of fun. We want to thank all our callers from people calling in.
And
please drive safely. If you're looking at the leaves, pay attention to the road. And go ahead.
Car Care Clinic. Remember the phone number, 905-602-0884. I want to thank Christina because she did a phenomenal job on that conference call, which is never easy. Alan, thank you. Turkey.
That's my turkey imitation.
I am so full. I can't believe I'm going to eat the whole thing.
We're going up to the cottage tomorrow to celebrate it.
Oh, big thanks to Oren, my nephew, for answering the phones, and we'll see you all here next week.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.